Go ahead and open up your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. This evening, we're going to continue in our doctrine series throughout the Bible. And tonight, what we're going to look at specifically is the doctrine of angels. And in Hebrews chapter 1, he says there in verse 14, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Now, angels are a common theme throughout society. They have been. They have been since before man existed. The angels have been here since before we were created. We see them documented throughout the Word. They first appeared in the Garden of Eden. We saw them appear, you know, Satan appeared as the serpent. We saw the angel guarding the gate with the flaming sword. And so the existence of angels is pretty obvious if you look through the scriptures. They're documented throughout scriptures. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at angels. We're going to look at the nature of angels or the aspect of angels. And we're also going to look at the ministry of angels. What are their aspects and what is their job, basically? What do they do? Okay? And I mean, Paul says here when he talks to the Hebrews, when he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? So he speaks about how they are spirits, and then he talks about their ministry, how they are beings that were created specifically to do the work of the Lord. And so those are the aspects that we're going to look at today. You know, the enemy in the world tries to say that God doesn't exist, Satan doesn't exist. But if you go through the Word and you look at Scripture in itself, you see that there's so much evidence for angels. But the problem is although most people will acknowledge angels, very few people really understand what angels are. What do they do? What is their role? If you look throughout Scripture and you see many times when an angel would appear, people would bow down and try and worship the angel because they didn't understand. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at angels. What are angels? What are they? What are the different aspects? What is their nature? And then we're going to look at what they do. Okay? One of my favorite examples of angels is in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was tempted. And the devil took him up on the holy city and sent him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And so even Satan acknowledges the existence of angels. Well, considering the fact that he's a fallen angel, he would have to acknowledge it. But at the same time, there's more evidence here that angels indeed exist. And after all was said and done, and Jesus refuted Satan through the use of Scripture, it says there in verse 11 that then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So angels are indeed real. They're documented throughout Scripture. And so let's take a look at what angels are. The first thing we're going to look at is the nature of angels. Back to Hebrews 1:14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Now, angels they have aspects that are very similar to human beings in that they are created. Angels are definitely emotional according to the scriptures. According to Luke 2:13, when the angels appeared to the shepherds and announced the birth of Christ, it says, and then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, and then they praised the Lord. So we know that angels are not like, they're not robotic. They were indeed given emotions and intelligence. But one thing that people misunderstand about angels is they're not the lost loved ones that have passed away. Angels are indeed spirit beings, as it said there in Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits? Unfortunately, television and movies and social media today, likes to try and make people believe that angels are somebody who has passed away and has, you know, they've died and they've gone up to heaven and they've done enough good works that they get their wings, like I said, is in a wonderful life. You know, and every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings type of thing. And that's not biblical. That's not, there's nothing in the word that says people go to heaven and become angels. The angels were created before we were created. And God created them with a specific purpose. And we're going to look at that ministry, like I said, later. And so we have to ask ourselves, why do people think of them as beings, as people who may have gone to heaven and become angels? Or why do people believe they have physical bodies? When indeed the scripture itself says that they are spirit, that they're not physical beings. Well, we've seen throughout scripture that they appear in many forms. They appear as men many times. But that's what it is they appear in the form of men. We've seen that example. We've seen the example in Sodom and Gomorrah, where Jesus and the angels come to the cities and they're basically passing judgment on the cities. They appeared as men. When Mary and Joseph were expecting, and Jesus is in the womb of Mary, and the angels come and they announce that this baby is going to be the coming king, the Messiah, they appeared in the form of men. But the reason why they appear in the form of men is because they're delivering a message, or they're delivering judgment. The Lord is sending them with a purpose, and he has them appear as men so that they're able to be comprehended. People see them and they can take the message from them. And knowing the fact that they are being sent from the Lord and they are appearing as men, although they are spirit beings, we have to understand that they are created beings. They are spirit, but they are also created. In Colossians 1:16, it says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." All things, not some things. And that's another problem that we have, especially as a church, is we start to think of angels as eternal beings, but they are not eternal beings. There is only one that is eternal, and that is the God that we worship. To be eternal means you have no beginning and you have no end. And there is only one that is eternal, our God. Now, don't get me wrong. Angels like us are everlasting. That is the difference. Everlasting means that you have a beginning, but there is no end. People like to think of us as, well, at one point the sinners will cease to exist, but that's not what it says in Scripture. We are everlasting. Our spirit will never die, but there will be an eternal death, meaning that we are separated from God at one point. And the same thing with angels, they will never die. According to Luke 20, verse 36, I encourage you to look up that verse. So angels are not eternal, but they are everlasting. But ultimately, knowing these things, we have to understand that God has dominion over them. They are powerful, but they are not all powerful like our God is. And I just really think it's amazing how our God has created angels with these ministries and these duties, because he's just so awesome that he set things up ahead of time. That when there's things to be done and there's messages to be given to us, God set up these angels with these duties to be able to minister to us. And so we've seen that they are spirit and that they are created beings. Another thing we have to understand about angels is that they are empowered by God. They are great and powerful. Looking back again to Sodom and Gomorrah, when the angels came into the city and they were trying to claw and get at these men that they saw come into the city because they lusted after them, they struck the people blind. And when Lot, and they gave Lot the instructions to leave the city, go to the other city, and not to look back. And when Lot and his family were clear into the other city, they called down fire and brimstone from heaven and wiped the cities off the face of the map. So they indeed are powerful. Another example is in Isaiah chapter 37. When Israel was against the Assyrian army, it says that then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were corpses all dead. And so we see that angels are powerful. Powerful because our God is mighty and all-powerful. And so we see that they are empowered by God. So we get an idea of what angels are. They're spirit beings, but they are created. God created them with a purpose, with a ministry, with things to do. They deliver messages. In fact, the word angel is defined as messenger. And so these angels were created to do the work of the Lord. And they are empowered to do the work of the Lord. And so when he created them, he indeed had a purpose for them. But what's amazing, what's awesome is our God is a God of order. And they are indeed messengers. And when God created them, he gave them roles and ministries. And so what we're going to look at more in depth is the ministry of angels. We understand what they are, but we need to understand more importantly what their purpose is. Why did God create them? Well, the first thing that angels do specifically is they guide the believer. Angels were created to guide the believer. We see in many times throughout scriptures, and I'm going to give one example specifically, but many times throughout scriptures, angels were sent to guide God's children and showing them the way to go or telling them the things to do or giving them instructions from the Lord. And one of my favorite examples is with Philip and the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. Philip is sleeping and the angel appears to Philip and he wakes him up. Philip's sitting there resting and he's probably snoring away. And the angel comes up and he wakes him up and he says, go south toward Gaza. Okay? And so Philip is he takes the instructions and he's going through the desert from Jerusalem towards Gaza. And what happens is he comes upon an Ethiopian. If you guys recall the story, the Ethiopian is there. He's reading the book of Isaiah. And so the angel tells Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. And so the angel is guiding Philip because there is an opportunity for ministry. There's an opportunity to reap the harvest, a new believer. This Ethiopian had a heart to receive the word from the Lord, and he wasn't quite understanding what he was reading. So God takes Philip and gives him these instructions to go to this Ethiopian and minister to him so that way he would understand. And so it's really awesome. You know, Philip goes and he ministers to him and he instructs him and he ends up baptizing him. And it's really amazing because angels, they're interested in the conversion of a new believer, which also adds to their intelligence and their emotion. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And so we see that angels, because they're intelligent, because they're emotional, they want to see conversions, people from coming from the world to becoming a new believer. And in that interest, they will be sent from the Lord to guide the believer in ministry, to guide the believer in his life, teach him ways to go, show him ways that he can minister. So they guide the believer. The next thing we're going to look at is the fact that angels, they will strengthen God's people. An example of that is when Elijah was running from Jezebel. And he takes off because she threatens his life. And it says there in 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So Elijah is running, and God recognizes that this journey that he's on, this running, that he's not going to make it. So he sends an angel to strengthen Elijah with this supernatural food. And he gives him this cake and this water, and it's so great, and it's so filling and just nourishing that it gets him through the journey 40 days and 40 nights. Despite Elijah being afraid of this girl, God was still with him. He sent this angel to strengthen him in his time of weakness, knowing his need of being sustained by the Lord. And that's how awesome our God is that he sets up this system. I'm going to say it over again. God created these angels in the interest of us, that he could strengthen us, that he could direct us. And we should all be flattered in that, in the fact that God set up this whole system that he could love us with, that we would be supported, that we would be taken care of like a heavenly father. He is our heavenly father and he looks out for our best interest. So we've seen that they guide the believer. We've seen that they strengthen God's people. And the last thing we're going to look at as far as their ministry is the fact that they protect us. There are many examples of angels protecting God's people. There are many testimonies of angels protecting God's people. You know, there's books out there, you know, the Jesus Freaks books and things like that, where you see these testimonies of God's people being protected. But my favorite example is Daniel in the lion's den. We know the story. Daniel, as was his custom, prayed before the Lord. But the wise men got Darius to outlaw prayer to anybody but him. And they did it so that they could catch Daniel breaking the law, if you will. And so Daniel gets caught praying. And so Darius, because his decree could not be revoked, because that was the law at the time of the Persians, the law could not be revoked. So Daniel had to be thrown into the lion's den. And Darius felt guilty because of what he did. So he arises, he raises up in the morning, and he doesn't even really get dressed. He takes off over to the lion's den, and he calls out to Daniel in verse 21 and 22 of Daniel chapter 6. He says, "Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you.'" Daniel was just a man that set a great example of faith. And his faith was unwavering. And even when the law forbid him to pray to the Lord, he did it anyways because he loved God so much. And God protected him by sending an angel to shut the lion's mouth. We have to think about that lion's den. I really believe that, I'm pretty sure that those lions weren't very well fed other than the people that were thrown into that lion's den. If they were stuffed and constantly fed, why would they eat anybody? You know, they were kept hungry. In fact, if you think about it, when you think back to the story, after Daniel is pulled out and they throw the wise men and their entire families into this pit, they were torn apart before they even hit the ground. And so it's not like these lions weren't hungry. They were indeed famished, but God sent his angel and shut the mouth of these lions and protected Daniel. And so we've seen these ministries of angels. They come and they deliver messages and judgments from the Lord. They direct us, they guide the believer, showing us the way to go, showing us ministries, opportunities to share our faith. They strengthen us when we need strengthening, and they protect us. And so we have an idea of what angels are now. We understand what they do. But in the end, as we begin to wrap up this evening, we need to take one thing away specifically about angels. Although they are powerful beings, although they are spirit, although they do the work of the Lord, they are only powerful because they serve a powerful God. They are only able to do what God instructs them, what He allows them to do. God loves us so much that He created them to facilitate a loving relationship with us so that He could take care of us, He could provide for us, He could direct us. And like I said earlier, I hope you guys with me are honored to understand and to know that He did all these things for our sake. Before the foundations of the world, He chose us, the Word says. And as he chose us, He set up a support system for us. All these ways to support us, to guide us, to protect us, to provide for us. And although it's important to know about angels, it's much more important to understand that they're just doing the work of our loving God. They are powerful because He is powerful. They are able because he allows them to be able. And knowing that, we need to really say thank you, Lord, every single day. Because our God is a powerful God. Because he loves us so much. And with that on our hearts, I want to encourage you, realize what God has set up for you. Realize what he's done for every single one of us. He loves us so much that he would be willing to set these things up for us. And so with that, as we continue and we prepare, we're going to be doing communion in just a minute. I want to encourage you, look at the way the Lord has provided for you. Look at the things he's done for you. He's done so much, and he's brought us from so far because he loves us. He is an awesome and powerful God, and he loves us so much. We need to thank him. And so with that, why don't we all bow our heads, and let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you, Lord, and we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this time in your word, and we thank you just for loving us, Lord. As you created, you set these things up. You created these beings that you would be able to minister to us with. It's awe-inspiring, Lord. And it's just so honoring that you would love us that much. And so, Lord, this evening, we ask that you would just help us to realize how much you love us and how much you care for us. Let us never forget all the things that you've done for us, Lord. Let us not focus on the inconsequentials, Lord, but let us focus on your grace and your mercy and your power and your loving kindness towards us. And so, Lord, this evening we ask that you would just minister to us, teach us, and help us to remember all the things that you've done. We thank you and we love you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.